Story goes that one day, a kindly old gentleman was walking down the street, you know, when he saw a little boy trying to reach the doorbell of a house. So the boy noticed the gentleman and said, "Hey, could you help me here?" And so being a kind man, he lifted the boy up so that the boy could push the doorbell. And he did. And then the kindly gentleman put the boy back down on the ground and said, "Now what?" Boy said, "Run! That's what I'm going to do." Hopefully, our desire to serve won't get us into trouble like that. But, you know, either way, the man was trying to do what we all want to try to do, you know, to be kind and to serve and to be helpful. God certainly agrees with that kind of an attitude of kindness and service, even though the motives of the one being served wasn't exactly pure. Today, we're going to go ahead and continue our series on discipleship by talking about how disciples of Jesus serve. Of course, the bumper sticker sermon answer for today would be that disciples of Jesus serve because Jesus served. But let's just unpack that a little bit. Because, you know, we not only serve because Jesus served, but because we are his disciples, we are supposed to be like Jesus. Okay? Again, take a look at a verse that we've looked at before. This is what Jesus told his disciples over in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. There Jesus said, "A student," and that would be his disciples, that's you and me, "is not above his teacher," and that's Jesus. "But everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher." And so if anyone ever says, "I've been a Christian 30 years, my question would be, how much like Jesus are you? You know, because we're supposed to be following our teacher. We're supposed to be following Jesus. And if Jesus is the master servant, if you will, then we need to be as good at serving as Jesus. We really need to work on that. And so our goal as disciples of Jesus is to, well, you know, be like Jesus. And when it comes to serving, Jesus is our example. Just take a look at how Jesus characterized his own life and purpose. And this is Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. And again, these two verses we've looked at from time to time throughout our series. There again, Jesus told his disciples, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." So simply put, Jesus came to serve and to give. And so if that was true for Jesus, and it was, then don't you think that's what God would want for you and me to do? Of course it is, all right? So how can we be a disciple of Jesus who serves like Jesus? Well, I have five things that I'm going to share very briefly. Characteristics, if you will, of disciples of Jesus who serve like Jesus. And the first is that disciples who serve like Jesus are humble. And whenever I talk about humbleness and humility, I always think it's important to understand what we're talking about. And that's because people sometimes have a misunderstanding of the word humility. They somehow think it means degrading yourself. And I'm not saying we all think that because we're all smart. But there are people who think that, you know. But true humility, again, is not about thinking less about ourselves. It's not degrading ourselves, but it's about thinking about ourselves less. And there's a big difference, okay? And that's really what the Apostle Paul was getting at in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesse read for us this morning. When he wrote that as disciples of Christ, we are to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. I like Jesse. Don't get me wrong. He's a good kid. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And that's that servant's heart again, right? Think about it. While we can't stop taking care of ourselves, because we need to do that, I mean, Christ even talks about, you know, no one ever hated their own body. You feed it and take care of it, okay? So we need to do that. But we need, of course, to be more aware of the needs of those around us. Now, in talking about Christ, just a few verses later in the same chapter, Paul says in Philippians 2:7 that Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. And again, we have to think about all that in context. Here we have the pre-existent Christ, God with the Father and the Spirit, leaving all that, coming down as a baby, living as a person, dealing with all the things we have to deal with, and then being humiliated, tortured, and crucified, right? So Jesus made himself nothing compared to what he was, taking the very nature of a servant, which is nothing, okay? So a good question to ask ourselves is, when was the last time as a disciple of Jesus that you emptied yourself for someone else's benefit? Moms are pretty good at that because we do it for our children, right? Dads are usually pretty good at that because we do it for our families. But what about for those outside of our immediate circle? In other words, you know, we can't be a servant if we're all full of ourselves. Again, if our focus is always me, 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 and I. And it's this quality of self-forgetfulness, if you will, that's extremely rare. As a matter of fact, out of all the people that Paul knew, the Apostle Paul, he pointed out Timothy as a good example for us to look at. There in Philippians chapter 2 again, this time down in verses 20 and 21, Paul writes this about Timothy, saying, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Again, saying that, hey, Timothy is actually looking out for others' interests, you know, and the interests of Christ. And this is one of the challenges of being a servant. And that's because we're naturally selfish. I mean, we are, you know, that's just who we are. You know, that's because, you know, we're in this body, we take care of the needs of ourselves. And so we're naturally kind of selfish. And so we mostly think about ourselves and not others. You don't usually wake up thinking, oh boy, what am I going to do for that person across the street? No, you think, well, you know, what do I got to do today to take care of myself? You know, all these things. That's why humility is a daily struggle for Christ's disciples. And so it's a lesson that, you know, we have to relearn over and over and over again. And that's why, first and foremost, if we're going to be the kind of servant that God wants us to be as his disciples, then we have to think more about others than we think about ourselves. And then when it comes to discipleship, well, being a good servant is a way to disciple others, to help meet others' needs, and to tell them why, and to show them why, you see. All right. Second, disciples who serve like Jesus are good stewards. Remember, only the one who sits on the throne in heaven and lives forever and ever is the one that's worthy to receive honor and power. For God alone is the one who created all things, and by God they were created and have their being. And that's, you know, basically my paraphrase of Revelation 4:11. And so as disciples of Christ, wanting to be servants of Christ, we remember that God made it all and he owns it all. And that's important as a servant. Because if we're going to serve others, we understand that what we have been given is to be used for the glory of God and not for ourselves. It's to be used to help disciple others. So when it comes to trying to understand what it means to be a good steward in the Bible, you know, there are good examples all throughout the scriptures, you know, because we see, you know, people being entrusted either with property or resources that have to, you know, answer to a superior, a boss, a king, or whatever. And one of the best examples that I like to always look at is Joseph in the book of Genesis. You know, we could talk about, you know, parables that Jesus used, but I like Joseph because we know this is, you know, real, it's not a parable, and we see the examples happening. So Joseph, in Genesis 39, you remember there, Potiphar entrusted Joseph with his household. So here you have, a man like Joseph coming in. He was a slave, and now he's entrusted with a household. So clearly, as a servant of God, he is exhibiting characteristics that say, hey, I'm trustworthy, I am honest, I am following a higher power, because Potiphar doesn't really care too much of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but Joseph does, right? And so Joseph is doing what he does as a follower of God, being the example he needs to be, and others look at him and say, hey, I'm going to put you in charge of this because you're trustworthy. The jailer, in turn later on, entrusted Joseph with his jail. And you have to think about that. Okay, so wait, you were a prisoner, and now we're going to entrust you with the jail. All right, there's got to be some things about the character of Joseph that say this man understands the principles of stewardship. He's not doing things for himself. He's doing things for others. He's someone who can be entrusted with other properties, other duties that aren't his own. And then eventually, of course, Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, the leader of an entire country, and at that time, more than that, a kingdom, really. Joseph is entrusted with the entire nation of Egypt, the outcome of Egypt and the survival of all of Egypt and the kingdom is rested upon Joseph, Genesis 41:41. There is a man who was a very, very good steward. He took care of things that were not his own, and he was entrusted with them, and he didn't use it for himself, but he used it for his master's purposes. Okay. So really, when we look at it, servanthood and stewardship go together. Because Joseph was an excellent servant of God and of those he was entrusted to take care of things. Especially since God expects us as disciples of Jesus to do both, right? And so if we're to be a servant like Jesus, then each of us needs to ask ourselves as his disciple, am I faithfully managing the resources that God has entrusted to me? And you can sit back and think about all of what God has given us. You know, the main things that we have to faithfully manage are things like time. Think time, when did that become a gift? It is. time is something that we've all been given the same amount, and we need to manage that resource, again, not just for ourselves, because you could take a look, I could take a look at my calendar today. What do I have to do to take care of my needs? Or you could say, look what I have here, and what am I filling in here to serve and to glorify God? Okay. So time. Then there's our talents. We've all been given some sort of talent or ability. And it could be something, so I don't have that much to do. I just come and I encourage people. Well, that's one of your talents. That's what you've been blessed with. You've been blessed with the ability to share, or to encourage, or to uplift. Or maybe it's just, helping other people. There are all kinds of talents that everyone has. Are you using those in the service of the kingdom of God? Are you using those to help disciple others? You could have a skill maybe of just being able to go to the post office because you could drive right now and someone else can. That's a way to serve others, and in a way, you're helping to disciple them, you see. And of course, there's also our treasures, right? Those things that we've been given that are tangibly financial. All right. In other words, again, we need to manage our time, our abilities, and our opportunities, and we have to manage our money and our possessions as we live and serve God as disciples of Jesus. Again, keeping in mind that none of those things belong to us. They belong to God, and God has given them to us to manage for his kingdom and his glory. And so it's important for us to periodically evaluate our own personal and congregational stewards as disciples of Jesus. Again, a servant of Christ is someone who is a good steward of what God has given them. Number three on our list, disciples who serve like Jesus take personal responsibility. And what I mean by that is you take care of your own business and you don't get into other people's business. Think about it. A true disciple of Jesus doesn't compare, criticize, or compete with other servants or ministries. And that's because real servants are too busy doing the work that God has given them to do. And they're too busy to be doing that to be worrying about what other servants are doing or not doing. So you might be saying, well, I do this and this and this and this, but they don't do that. Don't worry about them, okay? You worry about what you're doing, okay, as a servant of Christ, and help maybe to mentor them. Say, would you help me with this? And if they don't want to, well, that's between them and God. You know what I mean? But our goal as disciple makers, again, is to encourage them to work with us so that they too can do the same type of things, serve the same God that we serve, okay? And I'll admit that it's, you know, not, that's actually something that's kind of bothered me just in general. And that's the competition sometimes that we see among churches. And I think it's gotten better with COVID because we've all learned that we're all in the same boat together, you know. We should celebrate when other congregations of the Lord grow, kind of like the person I'm calling, I think it was Nisa. I don't know how to pronounce her name. It's a name I can't pronounce. So I'm just calling her Nisa, somewhere over in Johannesburg, okay? So when someone is baptized into Christ, whether or not, you know, it's someone that we studied with or not, that's an awesome thing. I see things all the time posted online from people working in the Philippines, down in the Caribbean, over in India, and it's like, this is awesome. God's word is being proclaimed and people are coming into the kingdom. That's something to celebrate, okay? You think, well, there's not much happening. Yeah, I know. Well, that's why we're talking about this, to be better disciples, okay, who help to disciple others. All right. So ministry is not a competition. How many people did you have in services today? Well, I had 57. I had 58. What are you doing wrong? Nothing. Okay? That's not the point, right? How many people you baptized this week? 73. How many people you baptized? 2. What are you doing wrong? Nothing. Could be better, but you know, it's not a competition. We celebrate with each other. We grow together. We're not trying to beat each other up, right? We're trying to lift each other up. So, I don't know. We're all on the same team. It just doesn't make sense when we do that. Paul wrote this over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 26. He wrote, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. In other words, there shouldn't be any jealousy between the servants of Jesus, right? Same thing with hypercritical comments and their theological hair splitters. Take, for example, what Paul encourages both Titus and Timothy as two preachers out working with congregations in the first century. And Paul says basically the same thing, but he expands it a whole lot more to Timothy. This is what he says. He says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Careful what you do on Facebook, that's also said. Because you know they produce quarrels. No, really? Let's see, what have I got in my pocket here that could produce a possible quarrel? Anyway, instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. You know, I'll be honest, I don't like this. I don't want to wear it. But because it helps someone else, I wear it. You know, and I might do it a bit begrudgingly, but as a servant of Christ, what would Jesus do? All right, so I wear the stupid mask. Did I say stupid mask? I wear the mask. But just for that reason, okay? Do I take it off later? You're right. I tried to trim my mustache down as thin as possible because I get sweaty in the summer. Anyway, I won't get a little rash. Never mind. All right. But you see, that's why you won't find me wasting time arguing on Facebook. Sure, I might post pictures or videos. Posted something recently, the Muppets singing Bohemian Rhapsody. Awesome. Maybe laugh. I'm not going to argue about, they didn't sing it right. That's not the point, you know, okay? I don't do that. I won't do that. I refuse, okay? And why again? Because I know that those foolish and stupid arguments produce quarrels and division. As a servant of God, that's not something we should be doing. If we're discipling others to help follow Jesus, That's not something we should be doing. Instead, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16 tells us, do your best to present yourself as one approved, a workman or workwoman, if you will, who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Wow. I think that means don't gossip, don't quarrel, don't start arguments, all that kind of stuff, you know? And I know that could be a challenge. And so disciples who serve like Jesus focus on their own responsibilities, all right? And if we're going to be good disciples who help to make disciples, we need to lead people to Christ, not repel them. Next, disciples who serve like Jesus are really serving God. God is the one we serve. Think about it again. As Christians, we are all loved by God. And as we serve Him as disciples, as His disciples, we need to remember that God is still our God and He's the one who loves us. And I say it that way, remembering that we serve God. If we continue to remember that we're serving God in all this and not ourselves, then it's God that we are attempting to please. As we disciple others and encounter struggles, remember it is God that we're trying to please. We're not trying to please everybody else. We don't compromise on the truth of God to please somebody else. We're pleasing God by leading people to Jesus, not leading to people through some back door into some little room who might get a peek, a little bit of a peek at who Jesus is. We bring out Jesus full force to somebody, maybe little bits at a time, but that's so they could see Jesus and come to Jesus, because God is the one that we're serving, not the world, okay? Jesus is God's servant that we are to follow. But when we think about Him as a servant, is He only a servant to us when He's on the cross? Obviously not, right? Because, again, one of the best examples we see of Him serving is washing feet, right? In John chapter 13. And when you think about washing feet, that's like a step below shoeshine boy. That's the guy that scrapes off the dog dew on the bottom of the shoe before, you know, you get your shoe shined, okay? Anyway, it's not exactly a high status job is the point, right? But Jesus knew who He was and who He was serving. He was serving God the Father, okay? So it didn't threaten or bother Him to serve in any capacity, whether it was touching a leper, cleaning people's feet, you know, reaching out to people and lifting them up. He did all of the grunt work firsthand because He was serving God, not His own needs. And how do we know that Jesus believed that? Well, again, there in John chapter 13 in verses 3 and 4, Jesus, we're told, knew that the Father had put all things under His feet, under His power, that He had come from God and was returning to God. So Jesus understood that He was serving God and that He was doing God's will. Verse 4 says, this is in the context of washing feet, so He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. Now when I read that, hey, Jesus knew exactly who He was. But He did not consider this task below Him because He knew He was serving God and not His own interests. And in serving God, He was serving others because He was discipling those around Him. Okay? So if we want to be disciples who disciple others, we need to serve others to lead them to God like Jesus did. And if we're going to be a disciple who serves that way, well, we need to again realize our identity in Christ. And that's because the only secure people, I believe, can really truly serve because we understand, again, who we belong to. The more insecure someone tends to be, the more they want people to serve them. The more insecure we tend to be, the more we want to please other people, okay, and seek out the approval of other people. But if we seek to please God, then we are going to do what God says and follow what God says. Fortunately for you and me, we know as Christians, we have this assurance in Galatians 3, 26 through 29, that we are all sons of God, all children of God, through faith into Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so then, if you're baptized into Christ, you are a child of God. You know, you belong to Christ and you're an heir according to the promises of God. And that's the Christian's identity. And that means we are God's possession to the praise of his glory, Ephesians 1:14. The point is, again, when we remember that our worth and our identity and our purpose are based upon our relationship with Christ, then we're freed from the expectations of others. And that means that as disciples who serve like Jesus, we know that we're really serving God. And we can do the kind of service that God requires of us to help disciple others. Last point this morning, and that is that disciples who serve like Jesus see opportunities. What I mean by that is, as servants, we enjoy helping people. We enjoy meeting needs. You know, we enjoy doing ministry. You know, and ministry is just serving, okay? And so as disciples who serve like Jesus, we serve the Lord with gladness, Psalm 100 and verse 2. And just how can we do that, you know? How can we serve the Lord with gladness? Simply because we love the Lord and we're grateful for his grace. And we know that serving God is the highest use of our life because God has promised us a reward. And we don't just do it for the reward, but we do it out of love for God. Colossians chapter 2, though, in verses 23 and 24, tells us that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, which involves integrity, right? But he says also this in verse 24, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. It's okay to remember that we're serving God and we're doing this to please God, but we're also understanding that I have a reward so that no matter what happens in our serving, if someone says, you know, thanks, but no thanks, well, it's okay because your reward is in heaven. It's not, you know, necessarily a thank you from someone you served. You get a thank you from God. Again, Jesus promised his disciples over in John chapter 12 and verse 26 that whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servants will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So again, Jesus says right there that we have to serve when we follow him, right? And again, he also promises his servants, that's you and me as his disciples who serve, that we're going to be where he is. That God will honor the one who serves Christ. And I want to be one who serves Christ. Okay. Again, Hebrews 6:10 adds, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. That's a great thing, isn't it? As we help others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're helping the Lord. Okay. And as we show love to others, we're showing love to God. And so as God's servants, when we serve others, we're serving him. And we're never too busy to serve God, right? Hope not. And just to be clear, disciples who serve like Jesus don't serve him because we have to. We serve him because we love him, because he loves us. And so we serve with all of our heart, knowing that, yeah, God will honor our service. He will not forget the work that we do. God will reward the disciples who serve like Jesus. And the glories and rewards of being with God in heaven are far beyond our ability to comprehend. But again, as we serve others, we do it often thanklessly. But God knows, and God will reward us, okay? And again, no matter what, we know it's worth being a servant of God. Disciples of Jesus serve. Disciples of Jesus serve. And what do we say that looks like again? Well, first of all, we said disciples who serve like Jesus are humble. And we said disciples who serve like Jesus are good stewards. And we said disciples who serve like Jesus take personal responsibility. And we said servants like Jesus are really serving God, okay, no matter who we serve. And finally, we said disciples who serve like Jesus see opportunities. Let me share another story with you that it's not a good story. Okay. So anyway, you can check it out online, maybe. You could. Anyway, but you see, that's the plan for disciples, right? Great servants recognize how God's plan works. They appreciate it when it all comes together. And as a disciple of Christ, our mission is to disciple others. And being a servant for Christ, that is how we fulfill that. And serving others is a way of discipleship. I hope we all understand that, okay? May God help us to serve like Jesus served. Today, again, if anyone wants to serve Jesus, the solution, of course, is to be a Christian, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for your sins. And when you confess that truth and repent of your sins, then be immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. Because in that baptism, just like Christ, you'll die to yourself and rise up out of the water, born again to newness of life, just like Jesus died and was buried and was raised again. Come up out of the water, you're heaven bound, right? For those who are already Christians, remember that as disciples of Jesus, we are servants of Christ. And so, again, we serve differently than non-believers because we know whom we serve. And we know that the goal of serving others is to lead people to Christ, to show Christ's love in our serving. So we encourage others to follow Christ. Again, if there's anyone here who has the need to come forward this morning, whether it's to share or to seek prayer, or even to become a Christian for the very first time, we want to encourage you to do that as we stand and sing the song that was selected.